Welcome back to the Vinland Chronicles, a Vinland Saga podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chad.
Hey, I'm Ronnie.
And today we're covering Season 2, Episode 13, Dark Clouds.
We sure are.
It's the name of what's going on outside today. It's very dark and
very
hazy.
Cloudy, very ominous, but we podcast all the same, I've found.
What'd you think about the episode, Ronnie?
Well, I'm a little caught off guard. Let me just get my mindset right, because you hit me with a fast record button. You know, usually there's a moment of like, okay, you good? You ready? And I say yes, and then you hit record. But today, I'm a little caught with my pants down.
Yeah, sorry. We were talking about another subject before this.
And I didn't think you liked what I had to say, so you just started us going, which is fine. No, this episode, this was a good episode. I liked this episode. It's just insane how inevitable the Farmland saga is. Every time you think, okay, here we go, they just draw you right back into like, nope, we're just back on a farm.
We're back on a farm. How about the like slice of lifeness from this whole episode? I just felt like we were just chilling in a little home, little house on the prairie.
I was just like really worried about Gramps, Mr. Severical. Yeah. Because I'm like, geez, yeah, he's so old, but he's so stubborn. How do you keep a guy like that from himself?
He's literally every old person that I know. Every old person gets to a point where they just get this stubborn.
But then here's the other thing too. Like times like this, it would be so hard to be old. Like I like to think, like, don't get me wrong, I will go stir crazy when I'm old and can't do the same things that I used to be able to do. But like I look at my grandpa and I go, am I going to get like so sour kind of like that? Or will I be able to keep up with some of the interest I have now? You see what I'm saying?
You think we'll still be podcasting like if we make it there?
I'm just saying, like, my grandpa, he's 92 years old. He doesn't get around nearly like he used to. He just wakes up, eats whatever my grandma puts in front of him, and, like, waits for Everybody Loves Raymond to come on at, like, 6 p.m. And I just, for the sake of, you know, my sanity, I just hope that I can still be like...
Were you just using an example there, or are you being serious?
I'm not kidding. I can tell you why I'm serious, is because Sunday, Everybody Loves Raymond does not come on, and that's his worst day.
Oh, he says that.
My grandma says that, because she has to turn the channel for him, because he, like, doesn't bother to learn it. And then my whole point was like, we live in the age where he could watch every single episode of Everybody Loves Raymond back to back to back, however many times he wants.
I love how random that is. I feel like when I get to that age, it'll be something like completely random too. It's going to be Everybody Hates Chris. Okay. I'm just going to be watching Everybody Hates Chris every single day.
All right. Yeah, that's a classic. Me and my buddy bonded about that show in sixth grade, and we love to say, dude, you're so in there, which is what his little white friend always said to him.
Terry Crews was such a good dad.
Wow, Terry Crews, yes. Yeah.
Can't believe he got molested. Do you want to get into this episode?
Yeah, my whole point is just like, I hope when I'm old, I'm not just sitting around waiting for the 6 o'clock TV Land showing of Everybody Loves Raymond. Right. I hope that I can still be like, move around on streaming services and maybe even be a 92-year-old playing like video games that give me joy.
I mean, what else would you do, though? Because cognitively, he probably doesn't enjoy video games.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying, like, Mr. Severical, I feel for. Like, go let him die in the field.
Yeah.
Because he's just laying in a bed. That'd be torture. That would be torture.
There's no TV.
There's nothing to take your mind off anything. He's not reading. He's just laying in a bed.
He can't read.
Thinking about his wheat. Yeah, he can't read.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And no, you didn't just mispronounce weed. He's not some marijuana head.
I'm talking about
literally
that wheat.
Let's get into the episode. This is one of our best intros I think we've ever done.
I agree.
We start off with a just brutal murder scene. We don't get to see it, but we see a decapitation. We see blood everywhere. It's like three or four men just completely butchered.
Yeah, one guy split right down the middle. Yeah. Ow.
A man has broken out of his shackles, and we'll just go ahead and say his name now. Gardar, we find out, is his name later in the episode.
Yeah, what? We do.
What are you laughing at?
What do you mean, what am I laughing at? The guy's name is Gardar.
What's wrong with that? He sounds like a...
That is the stupidest name I've ever heard.
He sounds like a, what is it, gargoyle?
Now, I like the name because It sounds so stupid. I feel like there should be a different way to pronounce it, but I don't know what it would be, so I'm just going with Gardar, and if that's his name, have a better name.
Well, the problem is, like, he's not an evil demigorgon, like, ancient dragon.
Exactly. He's not... He's not a piece of clay that Rita Repulsa has molded and then sent through a machine and sent down to for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to fight.
Yeah, right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he backs another guy into a corner. We've got a woman and a child. They're huddled up in a corner, too. They're still alive. The house is starting to burn. He honestly looks a little bit like Einar.
Yeah.
He really does.
In the beginning, when we didn't know his name was Gardar, I was like, I thought we were seeing some sort of Einar. And then eventually there's so much chaos going on that I go, okay, this is a completely different guy.
Which is even crazier because Arnaid telling Einar she thinks he looks nice. It's probably because she reminded him of her husband.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But Gardar, though, he's massive. I mean, Einar is a big guy, but this guy's huge. I mean, he's been on that slave diet, but all he's been doing is working, and he is a boss. True Norse man.
Yeah, the slave bulk is going very well.
But yeah, the one guy that's left alive, he's begging for his life. And then that's when Gardar tells him he should try being a slave for once.
Well, yeah, no, the master does a move that I was thinking about this. I don't think you can do this.
Kiss the feet of someone?
Well, just say like, okay, yeah, I had a good run. You've been my slave, but now I'm prepared to be your slave. Like, that's a very dangerous game to play. You got to almost just be like, okay, kill me, but leave my wife and kid alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that just shows how much of a coward this guy really is. Because if you're a man, that's exactly what you say, what you just said.
Right.
Kill me, but leave my wife and kid to live. And don't rape them, please.
Because think about this. If you have a slave, that person, more than likely, unless they're like a war slave, has done nothing personally against you, and you're already kind of treating them like dog shit. Now roles reversed where the slave is the master, except he's got a ton of baggage held up and just hatred pointed exactly at you because you were the one that making him do that stuff.
And it almost seems a little homo, if you know what I mean.
Like slave swapping?
Yeah. Well, being like, I'll be the slave now, Dad. Like, he didn't say it like that, but you can almost infer it.
Yeah, he didn't say daddy. He didn't say it in that way, but he was like mouth to feet when he was saying it.
Mouth to feet. I wouldn't even be like this for a woman. First off, I'm not putting my, whip me, mommy, or anything like that, and sucking toes. I know some people are into that kind of weird
stuff. You wouldn't
suck
toes?
No.
You'd suck toes?
No.
Just the way you hesitated and looked to the side told me that you would 100%.
Wow, you've been watching CSI Miami, haven't you?
Euphoria.
Interrogations.
You're talking about my interrogation skills.
Well, here. Because I looked to the left and away for a moment, and that's when they say, oh, they're lying.
Right, because you felt like if you said yes, you would have had to suck my toes, and that was completely off the table. We were just talking about our nice ladies.
I mean, I'm not saying I never would. I just don't want to right now in this moment.
Right.
So this pig of a man, though, he is just being disgusting. And once he becomes his slave, he just savagely kills him. I guess he does actually become the slave. He says, okay, you can, and I can do whatever I want to you, and then he just instantly kills him.
That is kind of how you know we're like in a TV show, because Gardar is one of the most beautiful buff men that you can ever experience, and I'm also looking right now, he's got beautiful teeth, and this slave master just looks like... He's missing like 5 front teeth. He's fat, which checks out. Like if you're a slave master, go ahead and be fat. But like no hair. It just doesn't work, you know?
I mean, is this how it really was back in the day?
It can't. No, slaves were not GQ models living on a ranch.
I don't know. I mean, you are right. He is literally a GQ model. He's one of the hottest men we've seen in the show.
They're literally breaking just everything that we know about nutrition. Unless this is just a weird slave, like where Kettle lets them buy back their freedom, this guy's like, all right, yeah, you're a slave, but I'm also going to put you on 300 grams of protein and 4,000 calories a day.
Right. and you're lifting to failure every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No rest, but somehow this, like back in the day, it just didn't matter if you rested or not.
And very little carbs. You're getting very little carbs.
So the house is completely caught on fire, and you know, this guy walks away from the baby and the mom, leaving them alive. So that's how you know he's a good guy.
Good guy.
He's a very good guy. I don't blame him at all for this, by the way.
Right, and don't forget, we pan away and see where this guy's got a sword in the back of him.
You're right. He's got a sword now. Yeah. Listen, if you're a slave and your slave master treats you terrible, it's always whipping, just treats you like a dog, doing all this, this to me is exactly what you should do to them. You kill them all and you go away.
I also want to mention something that I think would be very hardcore if you're like a slave that escaped. He still has, somehow he's like broken the chain.
Oh, but he still has the cufflinks
around his wrist, and that goes hard.
Right. They say it a little bit later. He's a cornered animal, and those are the ones you got to be the most afraid of.
Of course.
He's got nothing to lose.
And he says, now I must go get her. And I go like this. I go, uh-oh, Einar. Because we know one woman. We know like one.
So you did think that instantly.
Instantly.
Yes, Ronnie.
We know one smart woman. TV. It's so easy.
I mean, I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get it? I got it. Yeah, I got it.
I was like, wow, he must be going after Kettle's wife. Then we get the new OP. Ronnie, what did you think about the new OP?
So I'll be honest, I liked it. I definitely classify this as a bop. I know we've had some arguments about what constituted as a bop and what doesn't. This one is a bop, but I remember you talking very, very highly of this one, and because of that, I think I came just a little bit under the radar.
Wow.
Under the line.
So Survive Said the Prophet, they're the same band that did the very first OP. Well, yeah, the
yeah,
first
OP. And really I good. Like the first OP okay. a little bit more.
No, I can see that. I can see that for sure. I'm still up on the fence whether I like that one or this one better. But I feel like this band was made to do OPs for
that I agree song. With, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I like this one. I just was like, this has happened a few times where you or my brother Travis are ahead in the show and they're, you know, you kind of make a comment about, oh, wait till you hear the OP for season 4, mm-hmm. part 2, or something like that. And I get really excited. And then I think you even texted me. And you were like, oh, new OP on Vinland. And so I was really looking forward to it. And I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like one where I was like, okay, I got to listen to that mm-hmm. coming home from work on a Friday, very first thing.
I see what you're saying, yeah. Like, and rumbling, as soon as you hear the rumbling, you're like, oh, I'm listening to that on the way home.
Like, oh. I'm going to scream that at 3:35 on a Friday when I'm at home.
But yeah, I do text you sometimes. I'm like, dude, wait till you get to episode 17 at the 4.5 minute mark. This shit really like takes off.
Yeah, yeah. You're very precise. You don't give spoilers, but you give time codes.
There's nothing more annoying than somebody be like, oh, just wait till you get to episode 19 halfway through the episode. Oh, that's when it just kicks off.
It really gets going.
Yeah. Let's see here. The visuals, though, you didn't talk anything about that. If we're going to be actual anime covers, you got to talk about that, too. Really good.
Yes. Yeah, no additional notes. Really liked it.
Yep. All right.
I'll comment more on the visuals as I see them. A couple takeaways. There were a lot of flowers that were very pretty. And the one creepiest part was when
Gardar?
King Swain's head is like over the shoulder of what I'm assuming is Canute, like talking to him.
Okay.
But it's like his disembodied head and it's scary. Mm-hmm.
So we're back with our favorite duo, Einar and Thorfinn. Thorfinn is asking Einar if he's really thought about his freedom decision yet. I love this, though. Like he's still just thinking. Dude has not... because life is so good for them. I mean, think about it. When your life is that good, you don't think about stuff like that so far ahead. They just like being in each other's presence. Thorfinn's kind of like, oh, I don't really know what I want to do yet. I'll figure it out when time comes.
Okay, that's interesting that you're taking it that way. Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess Thorfinn, even, I guess for Thorfinn, no matter what the situation was, he would have probably been like this. Really.
So I'm a little bit different. I think it's more, I think it's complex because Einar has no clue what he wants to do because he's thinking about her name.
Simp.
Arnade. Arnade. And then, I mean, if he's a simp, then Thorfinn, bless his heart, he doesn't know what he's going to do because he's kind of like waiting for Einar to be like, well, I'm going to stay. So then he can be like, oh, but yeah, I was going to stay too. I was going to also stay.
Wait, so you think like Thorfinn friends. Has like a thing for him, or are you just saying?
No, I just think that he's like his only friend that he's ever once had. And he's probably, no, they've kind of like trauma bonded together.
He has a Leaf.
Yeah, wrong.
All right.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I want Thorfinn to be in love, man. I really do. I want a nice young lady.
See, and that's, once again, Chad just bringing it back to just love and ladies. And said, this is what we were talking about before we hit record, by the way. No, the guy just started to love himself. And that's the number one rule, Chad. You have to love yourself before you can give love to someone else.
See, I agree with you on that, but also there's a band that I listen to called Beartooth, and they came out with a song like a year ago that says, "Think I Might Love Myself," and it is just kind of like a really Tool douchebag song, and I disagree with you now. You can love yourself at this age, but once you start getting older, like, stop loving yourself so much.
Interesting.
Like, don't love yourself too much is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. But, yeah, we were talking about before this how I would just leave fate up.
Yeah.
If anything, if certain...
Right.
What do you say? If certain things met, certain requirements met, a.k.a. two different cell types formed a bond, created an XY...
A sperm finding an embryo.
Yeah. I would leave fate up to... I would leave it up to destiny.
Yeah.
On, with certain people. Even without really knowing them.
Way to dive into that.
Einar says he just wants to stay for the sake of saving Arnade later, possibly even saving her. He doesn't even know if he'd be able to do it, but he'll probably stay for that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that means that he's like trying, now he's going to like start trying to buy her freedom, or if he's like trying to come up with some grand heist to steal this woman.
Yeah, which is, you got to be risky doing, like, that's way too risky. I know,
especially since it's like, unless that she's feeding him knowledge of like, hey, yeah, this Kettle guy is kind of treating me kind of creepy like and mean.
Which we haven't seen any evidence of that.
Right. And so I'm saying if he does not have that information, then it's kind of like a dick move. It's like, bro, you're going to steal the guy's slave of the person who like gave you your freedom.
Well, yeah, because she hasn't said anything like that to him, has she?
Yeah. Not that we've seen. We haven't seen her. I mean, obviously she wants to be free, but she hasn't said like, oh, yeah, he's making me.
SSC or anything.
Exactly. The dreaded SSC.
Yeah, it's, what a sad situation, though. Like, when you, if you do find that out, you're like, the girl that you're crushing on has just been slobbing all over the master. I would be, oh, I'd be so upset. Be like, wow. So maybe I was just in love with the only girl on this farm for no reason. You know?
I mean, once again, you're just really just the mean take of the way it could be.
Well, I'm saying, like, he also needs to, yes, he's sure in love, but this is the only girl around. Of course you're going to be in love with the only girl around. There's many fish out there. Be free. Go.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little bit more poetic than the way that you were pitching it. Which was just like, oh, wow, I really like this girl until I heard that she, against her will, was having to perform sexual acts on the slave master, and now I'm kind of done with her.
Well, who says it's against her will? I feel like she doesn't say that.
Well, how else would he find out?
That's what I'm saying. If she said, well, I've been sleeping with the master. And he said, oh, was it against your will? And she's like, well, I actually kind of enjoy it.
Okay, so now you're just making up your entire other story.
Well, that because she
now
hasn't...
we're just listening to Chadlin's saga is what we're talking about now.
Well, I'm going off the information that I'm privy to, and that is she hasn't said anything.
By the way, I'm still very much Team Kettle because we're kind of slandering the man right now. All we've seen is like he hasn't given her the same deal and he just like confides in her while she's
right
brushing his hair.
Yeah, Thorfinn even says he's shocked that he's that in love with her, which is hilarious that Thorfinn says that.
Which, yeah, because that's exactly how I feel about you.
Yeah, but the only difference is this is the only pussy on this farm, okay?
Okay, so you're saying it's more reasonable that Thorfinn feels this way about Einar than the way I feel about you.
Yes.
Okay.
So they show up to Old Man Sverkle's house where Snake is pissed off, wanting to eat again. They both don't know where the Gramps is, though. And that's when Snake just suddenly realizes that something's probably wrong. So he rides off on a horse, tells them to follow him. How does he realize this?
Because his stomach is grumbling and he hasn't had lunch.
That's how. He finds the old man face down with a tool in his hand. What was the tool in his hand?
Okay, not only face down, he's like paralyzed.
It's like he's swinging it. He's swinging his tool, and it's in the motion, but he's face down.
It like literally, like an ice queen came down from the sky, froze him in a spot. He toppled over like a statue, and then was stuck there. I don't know for this to be like.
I think he was trying to kill himself.
He doesn't even have. He sees the hoe. Oh yeah, he's got a hoe.
Okay.
Or it's like a very Viking-like hoe. It's not the same kind of hoe you would see nowadays.
Right.
It's a little bit more wide.
I feel like when we find out later he wanted to die on his farm, I feel like he purposefully tried to like throw his back out
and okay.
land in the dirt and then just suffocate, but it just failed miserably.
Well, it's also like how long has he been out here just face first in the dirt?
Good old Sverkel.
I mean, at least 3 hours, I feel like.
Yeah, we then cut to him in bed, later struggling. He's upset that he might die in his bed and not on his farm. I'm the same. Dude, if I die, have me dying while I'm podcasting.
That's beautiful. I want to talk about the water situation here. Okay. Because he's got some bedside table, or actually it's just a chair sitting next to it with some water. Why did we as like a society get away? Because I feel like when you see old time shows, they're very much into having like, okay, you got your cup of water and then also a pitcher of water to pour your cup of water. We just have cups of water now. You know what I mean?
So I like that.
He runs into an issue because he's trying to pour a glass of water with his pitcher of water. And it's like, hey, Snake. He's an old guy who is just paralyzed in the field. Just give him a cup of water. Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, but Snake's been reading to him this whole time. He's been working a lot with him.
It's just crazy. Why are you like... Ugh. The only time I like it is when you go to a Mexican restaurant.
And you need a refill.
But I also... Okay, now we're going to get into this a little bit because I'm not 100% on board with this either. I don't like it when they do it at a Mexican restaurant because it gives you the illusion that you have more salsa than you actually have. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also, well, and then you should tip them less if they're not bringing it out to you, you know?
Does everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When they have like the little glass of salsa, then they bring out the bowls.
Yeah.
Then you pour the salsa into the bowls and you feel like, oh, wow, like now we can spread this around. But really it just equates to like... one bowl of salsa.
Yeah, it's three tiny bowls that equal one bowl.
Yeah, just give me
a big bowl.
A big bowl. Exactly.
So Arnaid shows up, softly knocking on the door. She's come here from the master's wife's request. So that's interesting. That obviously the master's still gone. So she kind of, I guess the wife kind of gives out orders during this time, and we just know she's old and ugly. That's why,
right?
That's why Kettle's been hitting Arnaid up.
But. That would make sense, and actually, it's really interesting that happened because it's almost like the wife is like, "Hey, get my husband's little girl toy out of here."
Mm.
So he comes back. She's like, "Oh yeah, sent her to do that." We already know that he's a bit of a bitch, so he probably won't like yell at her and be like, "Well, get her back here." He'll probably, "Oh, okay."
You know what I think's pretty baller? That the wife, though, knows that Kettle's probably hitting it and just can't do anything about it.
What could she do? She's right. got to be living a sweet life.
Yeah.
As far as this stuff goes.
I mean, I wouldn't do anything about it. If I was old and ugly, you know, I would just let my husband just keep railing
around. Especially
out.
Since everything that we know of Kettle, I'm not convinced he's hitting it. He, like, can't make the move.
I thought it was, like, them naked in that bed that one scene, though.
Didn't see P intervene.
You just think they're just chilling naked?
Hey, the guy was hiding in a barrel last episode. I think like, she prepares herself. She's like, all right, let's get this over with. And he's like, well, how was your day? You have a good day?
Poor Arnade. But, yeah, I mean...
He's like, wait, let's, like, get to know each other first.
Do you blame him, though, after seeing his wife? I mean, I don't at all.
No, she's not very pretty.
And he just seems younger than her. Anyways.
Maybe it was arranged. How about this freaking setup that Arnade makes for the boys?
She's
though?
Basically a nurse now. I have to say that she's the nurse for Schwerkel, but she's also the chef for these boys. And my goodness, let's talk about this food. Give us the rundown, Ron.
Yeah, I mean, we have not seen food like this in this show, I'm going to say ever, okay? She's made, wow, what a freaking meal.
Feast.
First of all, she's got like a charcuterie board, but like halfway through the charcuterie board when she was cutting up like salami and arranging fruits, she goes, oh, you know what? What if I just add like 5 pounds of sausage links for the boys? Because I know that they don't really care about this cute little charcuterie board that I'm making, and I don't have any cheese. Then she goes, oh, how about some beans? But these beans themselves, they're not a flavorful legume. So what am I going to do? I'm going to chop up some onions, add a bit of texture. I'm going to stew that over nice low and slow while the boys are in the field. They come back in. That's going to warm up nice. And then she even did this, which is a pro move. She had some peas, which no one really cares about, but she mixes in the greens. So she just threw that in the bean pot. And then she's just got a whole other sort of like generic white pots of just stuff that I can't really make out what it is. I don't know if it's like a potato-based dish.
Well, thank you for the rundown.
Doesn't look like rice. Thank you. I was very excited to do that.
Yes, Snake calls out Gramps, though, because Arne tries to feed him, and he says that he's not hungry. I love Snake calling out the bullshit, though. He's like, no, you're just stubborn. Like, anybody, if Snake wasn't there, no one would have said anything. They'd have been, like, too afraid to call him out.
And I gotta also say this. Like, I still don't think Arnade is, like, a knockout on the looks department. But she's very pretty when she's, like, being lit by candlelight.
Yeah.
Next to this beautiful meal she's prepared.
And see, Ronnie, you have a bunch of issues with me when it comes to women. My issue with you is, like, at what point is someone a knockout? Because you always every single woman I've ever talked about in my life, no matter if it's Jennifer Lopez from in 1999, you're like, oh, yeah, not that pretty. I mean, they're okay.
Well, okay, once again, we've talked about this before on the Patreon. You never said, hey, was Jennifer Lopez in 1999 pretty? You go,
no, I say a massive knock. You just said knockout. You just called Arnade pretty, but you're like, yeah, she's not a knockout. She's just kind of pretty. Like,
we've been, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's in the history books. She's a slave 8.5, regular like 6.5.
Dude, that is so low.
Just saying.
My goodness.
But
dude,
in this moment right here where I'm looking at her, a slave 9.5 and then a regular up to 8.5.
Okay.
She looks beautiful around all this food.
Right. So a woman that'll cook is what you're looking for.
Doesn't hurt.
So they all are sharing a laugh. Thorfinn starts to laugh at Snake's comment because Schwerkel, what was it he does? His stomach growls.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm not even hungry. And then, yeah, his body betrays him.
And then, I mean, it's just so awesome to see Thorfinn even have a sense of humor, you know? See, imagine Thorfinn in season one laughing at all.
Right. For him to laugh at this is just interesting because it's like, it's not that funny.
Yeah. Right, right. It's all, it almost is like he's dissing the old man.
Yeah, it's not really a joke, you know? He's just like laughing at the fact that his stomach growled.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this whole moment's awesome, just seeing everyone enjoy each other's company. Even Snake here. Like, I thought it was cool that Snake tries to be like this badass person, but he still just chills with the slaves. And like, he's literally just chilling at a table full of slaves. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, he's getting ready to be a real dick, though, here in a bit.
they all talk about how nice Gramps actually is, and of course he hears all of this, because anytime someone's talking, the Gramps hears it all. He's done this entire
season. He's got to be thinking like, hey, do these people not understand the concept of like open windows?
Right.
I'm not even eavesdropping. I'm laying in a bed because I can't go anywhere.
But yeah, Arnaid was even discussing how she felt free in this moment, and how like, I mean, this is truly one of her probably only really good experiences so far. Not that she's had bad experiences, but this felt like, to her, she was actually a free woman.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand. I mean, I guess this whole place is a different vibe because they're working, but they're also working towards their freedom. But if you're like Sverkel, and you hear, you just ate dinner with these people who were like super nice and have like helped you, and then you hear them talking about like, yeah, I almost felt free, made me remember when I was free. How are you not like, oh God, we gotta let these people go? Like, do you not go, what are we doing? Or are you just like, well, or are you just like, well, paying for him?
Well, I think he is thinking that way. That's why he's had them like hanging out with him this whole time. He's almost treating them as free.
Yeah.
Unlike, well, but the thing, Kettle's not treating him that bad either. Like,
no, he's not. She's really the only case, because yeah, it's like, we don't know her deal.
Right. We need to learn her deal, man.
Yeah, she seems like she just has to stay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like at the end of this episode, her deal might change a bit.
Yeah, that's definitely
her husband coming back
in
the picture.
That's definitely a 8-ball thrown into the mix.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who would you rather be with, Gardar or Kettle?
Oh, come on. I thought you were at least going to say Gardar or Aenor.
Kettle. Kettle's rich. Screw Gardar.
Yeah, well, what is... Yeah, he's rich, but like also... I guess the protection that they have here is different, because like what they have is not that crazy. They've just got like food,
yeah,
and a place to sleep.
Well, and you got to think about it this way too, how that's her husband. How did they get separated, and why are they,
well,
both
slaves? I think that's easy. I think the same thing happened to them that happened to like Aenor, except that they, for whatever reason, he just wasn't killed, and then they just got sold off as slaves. One second. Just need to get that out.
Thorfinn then sees them talking, and he's such a good friend right here because he does not cock block. I mean,
yeah.
Because this could almost progress into something else, like a little smooch or something. I really felt it coming on here. But just then, Fox comes riding up on a horse and kind of ruins the moment, because he refers to them as all slaves. So the whole free talk kind of just went out the door. But
and also, I got to respect Aenor, because he was like he wasn't a complete simp.
Not
He's
at all.
He's doing a good job of like playing it cool and respectful.
Mm-hmm.
They're just having a little post-dinner chat.
He wasn't like, hey, can we please go around back, please?
He wasn't like, God, I would be free with you any day. Or like, oh, that freaking meal that you made, that was just 10 out of 10. How did you learn to do that? That's amazing.
We may be slaves, but every moment that I spend of you, I feel free.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, totally. Totally, I felt free too.
He's like, oh, we get this all the time, actually.
He's like, that's cool. Like, yeah, I felt free. Good point.
So Fox starts talking about a slave that escaped from a nearby farm a few days ago. Snake says, "Ah, well, that slave owner, he was a dickhead, so he kind of got what he deserved," which makes me like Snake even more, like him saying that.
Yeah, because it
just shows that he does, like, Snake is not like even his own men. because he hangs out with the slaves.
Hangs out with the slaves. I mean, we saw like how he talked to them when they saw what they were doing to the slaves. He's a really weird guy because he's getting ready to talk about. Well, we'll get to it, and then I've got a take.
Yeah,
I've got an opinion.
But he's doing this and reading. So this book during this time, this is when we first get a look at this book, which later ends up being the Bible. But this is the most massive book I've ever seen in this moment.
Ginormous.
I mean, it is literally like the Guinness World Record book. If you combined every year of the Guinness World Record book, that's what it looks like.
Oh, man. Think of what is flipping through the Guinness World Record book every year at your Scholastic Book Fair. In your mind, what is the picture that you see?
It's, for some reason, it's like a green pointy thing that you put on your head. It's like a cap that you put on your head and it points green.
How do you answer that question so poorly?
I mean, that's legit what I see. I know exactly what I'm seeing in my head.
What is the record?
No idea. It's the
front wearing
of the
book. A green hat.
It's the front of the book. I swear. I think I still have it because I bought the book. A guy is literally like, imagine putting on.
Oh, I heard what you said. I just hated the way you
cap,
said it.
A green, like, bald cap.
Yeah.
And it's got pointy spikes on the top. He put that on the front of the book. It makes no sense, but that's what it was.
Hated that answer. I was, I feel like every year, the woman with the longest nails ever, she got like a.
Oh, that was a good one.
She got like a page where they were like, oh, yeah, make sure you throw her picture on there.
Or the world's shortest man, because he kind of had stuff in common with him. So.
Well, no, because at that time I was like pretty, like my height, I didn't know it was going to be such a problem. Dr. Clark was like, oh yeah, you, looking at the chart here, you should land right in between 5'10" and 6 foot.
Your growth plates are completely
open. What happened, Dr. Clark? What happened?
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
I never once had a doctor say, oh, you'll probably be about this height. Never once. They just said like, you're growing.
Yeah, Dr.
Keep
Clark's,
it up.
I'm going to be in the corner of his bedroom one night. I'm like, why did you say it, Dr. Clark?
Why did you say it?
He's like,
it?
Ronnie Coleman? I haven't seen you since you were little. What are you talking about? And I go, 5'10" to 6 feet. He's like, what?
And that's what you told me. I just go, I remember everything.
And I go, no more lies.
And then you try to sue him for everything he's got.
And then I kill him.
Yeah, Snake then realizes, though, that what this slave actually did and realizes that this could be a potential problem. He's like, oh, if he killed like 3 or 4 guys, we might want to be on the lookout.
If he's burning places down. Yeah.
He tells him to keep watch in groups of 3, and if you spot him, call for reinforcements immediately because a cornered man is unpredictable. We see later on that Fox, Badger, and another fool is what I called it. We later find out his name's Lizard, but I called him a fool here.
Hated this scene.
Prowling around the woods looking for this guy, they spot him sleeping at a tree. These idiots start arguing loudly. What did you hate about this scene, Ronnie?
This is not Vinland Saga.
What
this is some like cheap like anime joke.
What
this is the most anime this show has ever been. Remember when I was talking about, I guess it was the last episode where I was like, those guys laughing at Omar took way too long. Remember that?
Yeah.
We're a podcast, so you can't just look at me. 2 episodes ago?
20 minutes ago. No, that was 1 episode.
Okay, ago. Yeah. So okay. You're with me?
20 minutes ago in anime time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just making the point. Like, you just looked at me, and I was like, well, it's a,
dude, yeah.
It's an audio medium. You have to, like, respond. So people go, okay, yeah, Chad doesn't remember.
Speaking with my eyes.
This took twice as long and was even more infuriating.
Really? See, I liked this.
I hated it so much.
I liked this more than the Omar stuff. The only reason I'd say that, I do agree they probably dragged it on some, but...
Like, I get the joke, but like...
Oh, I didn't think it was a joke.
100% a joke. The second time he goes, hey, keep your voices down, that's as many as you get.
I think that these guys have not dealt with any sort of serious problem this entire time, and they're just a bunch of buffoons, that it shows that they were not prepared at all.
And that's fine. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But then, okay, here's right there lies my next problem with it. Gardar should not do whatever this bullshit is where he's just like standing menacingly over these three guys who are out to catch him, since they're speaking so loud. He knows what they're there for. One of their heads should be chopped off very first move.
Yeah, lizards was.
No, not very first move. He waits until they all like look up and go, well, gulp.
Well, if you think about it.
Here, gulp.
He doesn't necessarily know what they're going to do.
They're screaming. They're screaming for 5 minutes.
See, I think they just gave away the location. That's how I read it, is their location was just given away. He is just a crazy man at this point. He's going to kill probably whatever he sees. He goes and sees these three buffoons, and he realizes, oh, they have weapons.
Right.
Let me kill them.
Here's the thing. If he had done it, or if he, what's his freaking name, Fox?
Mm-hmm.
If Fox just had to say, be quiet twice, I would have been like, okay. They're giving away their location.
But the third time.
But when he says it six times, I go, okay. They gave away their location the second time Fox said it. This guy's just been listening to them for the past 3 minutes now. And he should be chopping heads off. Not allowing time for them. Like, oh, these two guys are going to go run on their horses. And
yeah.
He got Lizard. Now he's following us.
So right as soon as he slays Lizard, we cut to Einar chopping wood and Arne doing chores. He's telling Thorfinn to give him some more wood, but Thorfinn is secretly listening to Snake reading the Bible to the old man, Sverkel, because, well, we find out later, it's because he can't read. Arne asks if Thorfinn is a Christian, and Einar says he's not, but he is interested in it. And, I mean, has he been doing this for a while, or I guess he has, and they just haven't shown us?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I don't know if that means that Einar has been, like, teaching him some stuff.
Was Einar a Christian?
I don't know.
I don't know if he is.
Where would Thorfinn be?
No, I meant, like, has he been, you know, secretly listening to whatever Snake's doing with the old man just because he was curious, and it so happened to be the Bible. He was like, oh, I'll just keep listening. Every time Snake is reading to him, I'll just eavesdrop.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I hadn't taken into account that they do this a lot. I was kind of assuming that this was like a special circumstance since he's like all laid up in bed.
Right, but yeah, I guess...
by the way, nothing would get me to learn to read quicker than being an adult man having another adult man read to me. You know what I mean?
Think about how crazy this is, though. Snake, I don't know how long he's known the old man, but... But we'll get to that here in a second.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Are you coming back to that?
I'm coming back to that. Okay. Yeah.
I'll hold my thoughts then.
Mm-hmm. This does, like, the fact though that he has been having the Bible read to him kind of goes along with Gramps' character, why he is different than his son, and just the way he treats the slaves. Not mm-hmm. that Kettle treats him bad, but the way he treats them, the way he thinks about like money and problems, it lines up with, because if you think about it, Kettle should be very similar. He's just been around his dad the whole time, they should be pretty similar. I don't know if Kettle has any interest in being a Christian or not, or if he reads or anything like that, but also, how does Snake know how to read? Like, is he,
yeah, I don't know,
he from somewhere else? Like, I don't know, a lot of questions right there. But Snake continues to read to him and says he's sick of reading the gospel. The Gramps then falls out of bed and says he must harvest the wheat.
Wait, it looked like a tough bed to fall out of, because I've been
really
like,
did.
It looks like a race car bed, like a grown up race car bed, where it's kind of like,
but it's probably not.
It's got you like corralled in there a bit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can't just like fall off the side. Like, there's a wooden structure to kind of.
So
keep
he's
you
either
in
like
there.
Kind of faking being his. Frail as he is, because he shouldn't be able to crawl over it like that.
I know. That's, what do you think of like us going back to that, getting back to that
race car beds?
But, you know, just kind of like a an adult crib like structure. like a little barrier for the bed where you don't just like the pillow doesn't just fall off because it's got like a little barrier there. Like, why did we just all together think, no, no more. The bed just drops off. I kind of like the idea of just having a little.
I mean, when's the last time you fell off your bed? Maybe we realize, wow, we don't actually fall off these things.
Right. It's not, I'm not worried about me falling off as much as it's just like another little thing to kind of like lean up against, you know, provide more structure for the back. Your pillows. I mean, because how often do your pillows fall off the bed? Every now and then, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Corral those babies.
I haven't fell off my bed in years, though.
That's not a problem. I'm very good about staying on my bed. It's the pillows that like to sneak off every now and then.
So Snake picks him up.
And Cheetos.
Yeah. Snake picks him up because Gramps is, you know, just being stupid. And he then feels him. He's like, oh, wow, this guy pissed himself. So he's got to go get RNA to take care of him. Because, yes, a grown man does not change another grown man's diaper. I've always said that.
And respect to her. There's no sense of like, okay. She's like, coming.
Mm-hmm. She's a great nurse. She really,
really
is.
She does a good job.
Yeah, Snake's talking about how he's definitely going senile and he's on his last leg. He tells the boys to repay their kindness while they still have the chance. And then Thorfinn asks him, what's the relationship between him and the Gramps? And Snake says he's just planning to inherit and sell that book once Gramps kicks the bucket. And obviously, that is not the only thing he's been doing. Like, he actually cares about this old man, right?
Yes.
I mean, no way he's been, if he's been reading this book, because if you think about it this way, I think the only reason that he's been with the old man for so long, it's probably he had a little relationship with him in Sverkel, doesn't know how to read. When you're 70, 80 years old and you haven't been taught how to read, you're probably never going to learn.
So yeah.
So you just have somebody read for you. So Snake knew how to read. He says, hey, will you read this to me? I've really wanted to read this. And then they just formed a bond that way. But Snake's playing it off. He's like, oh, I'm just using him so I can sell this. But like, first off, how expensive is this book anyways? Couldn't he just get money from Kettle if he wanted to?
Yeah, and how did he price check this book?
Right. I mean, it might be expensive. I don't know back then.
It does look expensive. I just don't know how he would know. He lives on a farm. Like, we.
Yeah.
It was just weird for him.
I think he really cares about Gramps.
No, that was kind of my take, too. I think he does as well, but he does nothing in this moment to lead us astray of that. So I don't know why he would do that. Like, they were all having a lovely dinner the other night, so I don't know what he gains for being like.
I think he just doesn't want to. He just wants to seem like a man.
Yeah, okay, but the weirdness is already like, hey, you already sleep in that guy's like second bedroom, and he cooks for you. So
and you read to him.
Like, the entire like crew that you're in charge of is like, why does that guy sleep in that grandpa's house?
You read him bedtime stories.
Yeah.
Like,
so I don't know, like, what.
I mean, imagine you tucking me in at night and reading me a book.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And then being like, oh, I don't care about him.
Like, if you don't have anything read from you or read to you from the time you're like 18 to 70, if you get to 70, then you can be like, hey, will you just read to me? But just imagine being like a 40-year-old man and like a 35-year-old guy. Be like, all right, let me read to you.
I mean, he literally just picked him up and tucked him in and read to him.
That's tough. I'd be like, well, just help me sound some words out. I got to learn how to read this shit.
Yeah, that's rough, man.
I'm just like laughing at the idea. No, I find nothing funnier than the idea of like you sitting on just a couch across the room from me and I'm reading. Let's say I'm just reading the fourth Harry Potter book, Goblet of Fire. I'm on page 2 and I'm on page 237 and I look up and I've just got your undivided attention because I'm just reading to you and you've been there for the first three books, you know? We've just gotten through it, me and you.
And then I'm just like, I could see why a lot of people think this is the best one.
Just 28 years old, you never go, hey, will you teach me how to do that? You're just content me reading through the Harry Potter series and you're just sitting on a couch across from me. And then you go, why did you stop?
Why did you? Yeah, good night.
One more chapter. a grown man looking up and going, one more chapter.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough, man. I guess at his age.
Yeah.
Why, you're not, if you're 70-something, 80-something, you haven't learned something, you're not going to learn it at that time.
No, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah. So everyone's outside chilling when we hear the sound of a horse riding up very fast. Arnade looks up, kind of, I don't know how she can tell she knows the person from that far away, but she does.
It's Gardar. You don't think that you would know your wife from that far away? I would.
Does she have shackles on her arm?
It has nothing to do with shackles or not. It's just like a being. You get a feeling.
But his hair, I feel like his hair has probably grown a lot.
You wouldn't know. He's
been chased by Fox and Badger. Arnade runs towards him, yells Gardar, and he says, I finally found you, my wife.
Been looking for 2 hours. Quit acting like it's been so long.
End of episode.
You know what I mean, though?
Well.
Been looking that long.
Well, he
trying
might
to make himself sound better.
I think he's saying like, oh, you've been here for years. He's like, I finally found you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, they've been separated.
Yeah, but it's still cheating. It's like, okay, well, if you consider yourself looking for her when you've just been on the same 3 acres of land for 7 years, like that doesn't count. You're cheating. You're making it sound like you're doing a better job than you actually are. But yeah, I mean, this pour one out for our boy Einar. That is tough.
It is, but I think this. I would rather this happen than find out she's banging.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, once again, where I go, you are a shitty person.
Wait, what?
A shitty person.
I would much rather find out that she has a husband that she loved that got separated from, be like, oh, they can reunite and she can be happy again, than to find out that the master has just been porking her out.
Against her will, right? Yeah. Against her will. Yeah, shitty person.
Oh, you would rather find out that she's been getting raped?
No, I'm saying like that, you go, you feel so bad for her. You're like, oh, well, we got to fucking fix this. But this, you go, oh, I thought, like, that could be happening with the master and her actually be in love with Einar and them have, like, a relationship that's growing. But here it's like, oh, he thinks this thing's growing the whole time. She's got a husband that she's been waiting for to come save.
I would be sad, but all I would think about is her happiness.
Exactly.
And her happiness would be back with her husband. So I'd be like, thank goodness her husband's here to save her.
You're just a bad guy, is what it comes down to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're like, oh, God.
Would your husband mind if I came over to visit sometime?
That guy was porking you? Oh, gross. No, I'm not helping you. You're stuck here.
I'm not saying I would leave her there, but...
Well, it sounds like...
I would... If her husband came rolling up, I would be heartbroken at first, and then I'd be like, well, you know what? Her happiness comes before mine. Let's get you on that horse.
Yeah. You haven't porked him, right? Listen, I understand you're going with him, but you haven't done anything with this guy outside of hand stuff, right?
I would actually be a little mad, though. I'd be like, hey, we talk every day. Why haven't you told me about your ex-husband?
Yeah, I mean, both ways. It's kind of like, hey, Arnade, you got to open up a little bit more.
But she could also be doing that like as safety for Einar. Who knows?
Yeah. It's a tough situation either way.
Well, that's a really good point. She probably knows Einar likes
her. Thank you.
She probably knows Einar likes her. If she tells him all this stuff, he's going to want to try to free her even more and might do something stupid.
Wow, so now now you think she's playing him?
No, she's not playing him. She cares about Einar. She doesn't want him to do something stupid trying to save her and then get in trouble and possibly die. Because if Einar finds out, oh, the master's been raping you and you have a ex-husband that you were snatched away from... And you haven't seen him in a long time. Einar might be like, "Fuck the master! I'm gonna go out. You know, I'm gonna go against him and try to free you." And then that would be bad.
Okay.
See, I'm looking at this in a very like respectable way. I don't know about you, but that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, I'd be mad at her a little bit for not telling me, but at the same time, she's doing it to protect me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're strictly approaching it from like the okay, it's much better for I actually care about her. It's much better for her to just have a husband that she can go back to rather than her being, as you said, raped. Then, well, yeah, like, that's good. But I'm talking about, like, purely from an emotional standpoint from Einar. Like, oh, that'd be so tough.
I know.
You think you're building something, and then you see a guy who's just, who looks exactly like you, except just stronger and longer hair. And she's like,
Strong, yeah. He just looks like you on steroids. You're like, well, there it goes.
Thought we were really building something. But nope, turns out I was just the guy that looked the most like him. Enjoy. Have a good one.
I mean, where do you think we go from here?
I mean, that's the thing. We got a lot of stuff at play.
Because Snake went to go grab his sword. Snake's obviously pissed one of his men died.
Right. Yeah. How are we going to go on without Lizard?
That'd be awesome if he came back. He said, who'd you say died again? They're like, Lizard. He's like, oh, never mind.
Never mind. Or it'd be even better if he goes, no one kills Lizard and gets away with it. Not on my watch.
Why do they all have animal names?
I don't know. It's a pretty good idea for a crew. Yeah, but I mean, we got these two runaway lovers. We've got Kettle coming back. Still haven't touched on it a whole lot, but we just know that he's got some sort of relationship with Arnhade, so he's not going to be down with this. And not to mention, we got Canute with how many was it? What was the ridiculous number?
170 Yams Vikings, 30 of his men.
Yeah, 100 people to come take out 17 animal-related fighters.
To take out Lizard.
17 animal-related retainers.
Well, 16 now. Lizard's gone.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I had the number exactly correct. I will say that. So, yeah, I'm excited. It's crazy to think that we just now breached the second part of the season.
Yeah.
If I'm to believe the OP structure.
The OP, that's how it's structured, yeah. No, that's right, because 24 episodes. Yeah.
That's wild. We'll keep hitting them up. Keep on coming back. If you're listening on the free feed, you want to hear more of this right now, we got 3 more episodes just ready for your listening over on our Patreon. Click the link in the description below. It'll take you right there. You got anything else?
That's it.
Cool. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.